thanks for joining us. We are going to continue with our worship service. And so let's begin with hearing the way that God greets us. This is what we often do. We take a portion of scripture and hear the way that God spoke to the first audiences and greeted them. And they received it as something that was directly from him. As much as it was Paul the Apostle writing this, what they heard and why they stewarded these letters is what they heard was the voice of God through it. And if it's the voice of God, that means that he is addressing not only them, but us as well in the same way. And so we're going to hear God's greeting to us this morning. So receive it as God greeting you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that for a second. The God of the universe just addressed you, and he gives you grace and peace. The Jesus who died on the cross for you gives you grace and peace. And it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father, or of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So join me now in our call to worship. So there's a portion there for you to read, whether you are here in person or at home. This is, it's worship when we participate with it, or it's perhaps more worshipful when we participate with it. So let's do that. This is from Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us. Glory to God in creation. Glory to God in the church. Glory to him in all things. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we remind ourselves of the fact that we are always, but perhaps especially now, in your presence. I think of an empty chair beside me right now and the fact that in reality, you are as close or closer. I think of those who at times will set a place for Jesus at their dinner table as a reminder that you are there. And so whatever form of reminder we choose or you give us, we thank you for it. Sometimes we need help, Lord. But Lord, I thank you for your ongoing presence with us. You are good. And we have sung this morning, those who are here in the building, we have sung of your love enduring forever. And that's not an abstract thing, Lord. Your love touches down in very concrete and beautiful ways in our lives. And as we retell our stories, it is a story of how you and your love has changed our lives. It's one of the reasons why we come to a place like this, so that we can offer you thanks and praise for who you are and the fact that you continually give yourself to us. So Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray for our world right now. We could divide in even more ways than we could 2 years ago. We can just find new ways to divide and argue and lose our peace. We can find new ways to become citizens of this camp and that kingdom. But Lord, you have called us first and foremost to be a citizen of heaven, where my passport is now stamped with your signature, by your blood. And all of the other things that we might identify as part of ourselves have to now get in line and be reorganized around the fact that we are citizens of your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring that reality home to us in new ways. And as we pray about love and kingdom, those two things, of course, go together in Jesus. So may they, of course, go together as we navigate this divisive world with love and a focus on your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray for the elections coming up this week. or in the week ahead. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. Your scripture says that you put people in place and they then deserve our respect and our prayers. And so I offer them both now for those who are currently in charge and for those who will be post-election. And we trust you that this is still going to be about your kingdom. So Lord, have your way and make us peacemakers as we navigate this world. I think about our kids returning to school, our many people in our church who work in schools as well, whether as a teacher or a staff member. And I pray your blessing over them as they just try to figure out this ongoing new developing reality that is school with COVID and so on. And I also simply pray for the families for whom September is often just a bumpy start as we move out of summer mode and into a different mode where it's suddenly rushed and busy and we don't feel like we get enough sleep or have enough arms. So Lord, I pray your blessings over the families in this season. I pray your blessings over those who are in healthcare at the moment. And as the stress levels go up, I pray that the comforter and the Prince of Peace would be increasingly present to those who care for others during this time. Thank you for them. Please bless them. Lord, it doesn't matter whether we're a teacher, a student, a healthcare worker. We might fit into none of those categories or camps. And at the same time, Lord, we still have lives in which we need you. And so we are trusting for your ongoing presence with us. And now, Lord, as we share a story of how you have been at work, I pray that you would guide us, that you would speak to us, and that you would show us how this story and your scriptures contained within it apply to our lives individually, to our lives as a church, and most of all, that these would give you praise for who you are and the fact that you touch down in lives and show love. So Lord, we bless you. In your name, amen. I forgot to mention, I apologize, I always forget to mention this, but there are coloring sheets available out there if any young or old would like to color in the next little while. They're just in the foyer right beside the coffee machine there. Feel free to get up at any point and go grab those things. I've got another prayer for us. I'm not going to ask you to read it with me, but I'm just going to read it to you. However, it is going to be here on the screen. If I can get my stuff to work here. We've used this prayer before. It was written in the 16th century by an explorer who was deeply devoted to Jesus. And so let me just offer this as our prayer for this morning. He says, "Disturb us, Lord. Wake us up, in a way. Disturb us when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. How often have we played it too safe?" It says, "Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things that we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life." Yeah, I resonate with that part too. "Disturb us, Lord, when having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, love, and hope." We'd say in Jesus' name, amen. I have this deep conviction in me that anything that God does in our lives, he does for the sake of the church. It's a deep conviction that I think is born out of the scriptures, where God doesn't view us primarily as individuals, but puts us into a family together in order that that family and that body might accomplish something on the earth. Do you think I look better in lower light? Is that okay? Maybe it's for those online. Thank you, Marco. I'm not taking offense to that. It's good. Okay. Whatever God does for us, he does for the sake of the church, because it is primarily, he primarily views what he wants to do in the world, through the church. The church is God's plan number one for blessing, redeeming, and fixing this world. It is the body of Christ. It is the presence of God in the earth as he pours his spirit into us and sends us out into the world. Okay, so anything that God does in us, he does for the sake of the world. And you see in the Psalms, for example, Psalm 66, verse 16. The psalmist has been praising God for 15 verses, worshiping him. And then he actually gets into why it is that he's worshiping God at that moment. And he says, let me tell you, and he's addressing the congregation, let me tell you what God has done for me. And what God has done for that psalmist then becomes the whole corporate body's expression of worship and thanksgiving and praise for who God is. Are you following that? What God does for an individual, he does for the sake of the whole body, that the whole body might come together and celebrate and go, our God is good. Look at who he is. This is the way that he acts in the world. Here is our expression of worship, that we have seen him at work in the life of an individual, and it comes into the corporate setting, and they go, thank you, Jesus. They would have said, thank you, Yahweh, in Psalm 16, but nonetheless, anything God does is for the sake of the church. Anything he does in our own individual lives is for the sake of the church. It was a year ago that Jane Sigurdsson was up here with Gus and Joel and myself and shared a story about what God had done in their lives. And we have since seen the way that that has touched many different lives. It was never just for one particular individual. Well, after that story, I was talking with a friend, and he was encouraging me that he's like, God spoke to you through Joel, but God wants to speak to you directly. And I'm like, you know, I don't hear God that way. He sort of rebuked me with scripture and said, no, my sheep hear my voice. You can't call Jesus a liar. And so what then came out of that is the series that we are in now about hearing God's voice, because God sent me on a journey of saying, you say my sheep hear my voice. I don't hear your voice, but I can't say that anymore. So what do I say now? Well, I'm not recognizing your voice. Well, that's a very different way of framing it. But I started pursuing that and asking God, like, you call us friends. Friends talk back and forth. I want to hear. So I started asking him to teach me to hear him and recognize it in the ways that he wanted to speak to me. So I started not only being convicted of that, but convicted of the fact that I wasn't giving him any time to speak. And so I had to start setting space aside to listen, not just shooting my prayers off and then moving on. So I started setting time aside to listen each day. Now, unbeknownst to me, at this same time, around probably the beginning of May of this year, God spoke to my son. And so, Marcus, I'm going to invite you to come up, and you're going to take our second chair here. This is raw and uncut, so we didn't rehearse this ahead of time. Let's make sure your mic is on, because I don't think it is. All right. Say, hello, Mr. Marco.
Hello, Mr. Marco.
How's that? We got a thumbs up.
Okay.
Okay. So Marcus didn't know anything about sort of my new journey of just asking God, I want to hear your voice because you told me I should be. And then one night you heard a voice, didn't you?
Yeah, it scared me.
And when you say you heard it, where did you hear it?
In bed.
Yep. And was it in your head?
No.
What was it?
I heard it out loud.
Like in your ears?
Yeah.
So when he tells me this, I'm like poking his ears. I'm like, in your ears? Like you heard something in your ears? You're like, yeah. Like, what's the big deal, Dad? So I'm like, you heard something in your ears. What did you hear in your ear?
I heard, pray for your dad's back and it will be healed soon.
Did everybody hear that? Pray for your dad's back, it'll be healed soon. You said something before that, though, didn't you? When you said your name, what did you say?
I speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Someone knew a Bible story, and a Bible story made a difference. You know that story, don't you? I'm pretty grateful for kids' church leaders. You know? Because someone knew how to respond when they heard their name called. So thank you. So you heard, pray for your daddy's back, and it will be healed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So probably many of you know this, but for those of you who don't, I've had back issues since at least 2010, right around the time that you were born, just a little bit before, where every single night as I sleep in bed, the longer that I'm in bed, the more that the muscles in my back tighten. It has never been dealt with. So the longer I'm in bed, the more my muscles tighten. So I would get 2 to 3, sometimes 4 hours of sleep. And then after that, I would toss and turn for the rest of the night because I was in so much pain. I had seen a chiropractor, and that didn't work. So I went to a massage therapist, and that didn't work. So I went to a physiotherapist, and the physiotherapist is not only doing physio, I mean, he's doing like the needle things as well. I've used painkillers. I've done ice. I've done heat. I've done everything I could possibly do and all the various combinations therein, and I have never been able to get rid of this back pain. So if I have always looked tired, it's not just because, you know, it's not just because I'm a dad and a pastor and all that. It's because I've never slept well. I haven't slept well for 11 years. So Marcus hears this voice and then, you know, goes to sleep afterwards and just started praying for me on his own. He never told me about it. Why didn't you tell me about it?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's the beginning of May of this past year. On June 20th, our son Silas was sitting in our living room on a chair that was maybe about this high or a little bit higher, and we have hardwood floor, and he fell over backwards, and he smashed his head on our hardwood floor, and I heard it from the kitchen, and I ran as quickly as I could, and I thought, we're on our way to the hospital. He landed on his head. And I pick him up, and I started praying over him, and within about 90 seconds of praying over him, he's like, the pain's gone. Like, I didn't bring ice or anything like that. I just prayed. And he sat on Chantel's lap for maybe another minute or two, and then he got down and played with Rosalind because he was no longer, you know, screaming hysterically or anything. He was just well. It was like, well, thank you, Jesus. Like, that was very cool. So that night, as we're just praying in bed, I'm saying goodnight to the boys, and we're praying in bed, and I said, you know, you guys can pray for healing too. Like, this isn't a daddy thing or a pastor thing or anything like that. Like, you can do that too. And so they prayed for my back that night. And that night, the pain was gone. It just, the pain dropped. I wouldn't say it went away completely, but it dropped significantly. But then it started to come back through the week, and I wondered why. I couldn't understand it. Like, God, you healed me. What the heck? I don't understand. Well, a few days later, I'm having a conversation with a friend, and we're talking about people who are sometimes healed, and then things start to come back afterwards. And I'm like, Can you tell me why? Do you have any understanding of why that happens? And his response is, it's like when Peter walks on the water. And at first he's walking on the water, and then he starts to notice the wind and the waves, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. It's the same thing with healing. When people get healed, but then the pain comes back, they start to doubt, and fear creeps in, and they take their eyes off Jesus, and it comes back. So now I'm feeling like, oh man, I'm Peter. So I've got that going in the back of my head. As my listening journey is continuing, as I'm setting time aside each day, I'm realizing I need to be teaching my kids how to do this too. I shouldn't be the only one hearing from God. Obviously someone had already heard, but he hadn't told me. And so I just started sharing with them. You know what we would do is we would read our Action Bible each morning, which is this illustrated Bible. The dialogue is terrible. The pictures are really cool, so they sort of make up for one another. But we read a Bible story, and then we pray, but then we started incorporating listening into it a little bit as well. And that's why I told you, you know, your kids will teach you how to listen if you start listening with them, because they're just better at it. And that's where that experience comes from. So I started teaching them that, you know, we can listen, we can pay attention to the thoughts that come to mind or the words that God brings to mind, or perhaps you see a picture, or perhaps you'll hear a voice or something like that. God speaks in a variety of ways. And so as we were doing this one morning, Silas says to me, I see Peter walking on the water. Like, well, that's a coincidence. Maybe it's just a coincidence. So Silas says, I see Peter walking in the water. And Marcus says, I see Jesus healing the blind man. I'm like, huh, these are really interesting stories. Okay, well, guys, when we hear or see something from God, it's the start of a conversation. So let's take a moment just to listen and ask if he wants to say some more. Just ask him, why are we seeing these things? And Silas didn't hear anything right away. I'll share in a minute what he heard afterwards. But Marcus, do you remember what it was that you heard when we did that second part of the listening?
Didn't I hear to tell you about the...
You heard the words fruit.
Oh, fruit bar.
You heard the words fruit bar. And he tells me this. I'm like, what on earth are you talking about? Fruit bar? Like, that's a miss for sure. And he's like, oh, I didn't tell you about that. I had a dream about a fruit bar. Go ahead, why don't you share your dream? What was it, the dream that you had?
So I was in grade 5 and there was some sort of fight between, I don't know, 2 countries or something. And for some reason, my class was fighting in it. So I was supposed to heal the people and they were supposed to go and fight. But then at the end of the day, they would all gather around my circle and I'd walk in and then I'd put my hands on them and heal them and then give them a fruit bar to say good job.
This is the fruit bar dream. So Marcus, you heard that, I'm trying to process this in the moment as we're finishing our devotional time together. I'm like, so you had a dream about a fruit bar and you were healing people and then you prayed for them, they were healed, and then you gave them the fruit bar. And you're like, yes. Like, okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, what do I do with that? But I asked them then, well, why don't you guys pray for my back again? And you guys both heard say, pain go away, be healed. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't feel anything or anything like that. But my back's always good during the day. It's fine right now. It's the night times that are hard. But anyway, after we prayed that, then Silas and I shared with him about my friend talking to me about Peter walking on the water. Then Silas all of a sudden is like, well, that's why I saw Peter walking on the water during our listening time. Like, oh, wow, God's really doing something here. So we move along in the week, and then suddenly the pain is back again. And I'm telling the pain to go away. I'm like, I've been healed, go away. I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus, but it's getting harder and harder. And about a week later, Marcus hands me this. So we're doing our listening time, and...
You asked me to listen for you.
Sorry?
You asked me to listen for you and ask why that pain was coming back.
So. Yes. So you had, that's right. So I was telling them about how I'd started to have the pain again. And so one of our listening times, I suggested, well, instead of just listening to ask what God wants to say, we could ask him a question. And so it was, why don't we ask him why the pain is back, right? So let's see if I can get this to share. You're only going to see it over here, buddy. So Marcus brings me this, and I'm like, Marcus, can we share this today? And you're like, well, it's not the greatest printing, which he recognized, but to be fair, this is a random piece of a box that he ripped off in the middle of the night and started scribbling things on when he started hearing something. So Marcus, why don't you come stand here, because that way you'll be able to both see that and the microphone will be able to pick you up. So stand right there. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what is this? It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. So what happened?
I asked him why the pain was coming back.
And so what happened that night? Didn't you hear a knocking or something?
No, that was before that.
Okay, so let's tell that story first.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. You heard a knocking.
So I was in bed and I heard a knocking on my sheets. So then, and then I heard you see me when you come out under the covers. So I came out.
You heard God say to you, "You'll see me when you come out from under the covers."
Yeah. So okay. And I didn't see him. So then I closed my eyes and imagined the room, and I saw him right beside our fish tank. And then he told me that I would. That's when he told me those stuff.
That is when he told you this stuff. Yeah. So this is what you wrote down, which was like sort of the bullet points of what you heard. So why don't you walk us through what these points are?
So he told me that you had to keep your eyes on Jesus. He said that he gave you a test the second time and you failed it.
Yes, I failed. I had to hear that from my son. Yeah. God told my son I failed. Yes. Okay, so keep going. The next one says, keep your eyes on...
Keep your eyes on me and you'll be healed.
Yep.
Heal through me. Trust me. Give us, and he'll give us me a sign when you're going to be healed or is healed. Or, yeah. And then he showed me a picture of Elijah. I asked why, and he said he trusted me in his hardships. Now your dad must trust me too.
So I'm like, all right, I've never experienced anything like this before. So then we waited, and that was at the end of June. So you can have a seat there again. Thanks, buddy. We waited through the rest of June and most of July. And you had said that God had told you that there'd be some sort of sign. And so one time you were in Ontario, out on the back deck, was it?
Yeah.
And what was the sign?
I heard when it was like all quiet, and then I heard when you hear three dog barks, then that'll mean your dad's back will be healed soon.
Be healed soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't really make sense because I couldn't hear any dogs. The neighbors hadn't let their dogs out. So.
Okay.
And then I just heard three barks of a dog from somewhere.
Like right away?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was his sign, which was part of that note there. And so that's in July in Ontario while you guys are on vacation there. And then I get there. So you guys went to Ontario ahead of me, and I joined you after a couple of weeks there. And so we continued our listening prayer time as we were praying just our daily devotions. And then there was one time where we were listening and then you heard something else. So what was it?
I heard your dad's back will be healed in 30 days.
In 30 days. Mm-hmm. So I had made a note of that, and that was July 25th. Marcus... It's summertime. Marcus didn't even know what day of the week it was, let alone what day of the month it was. But I wrote that down. And so we just continued waiting and waiting. And so we come back from Ontario. We continue praying. And so August 24th, we're doing our listening prayer again. And what did you hear?
Pray for your dad's back at midnight. It'll be healed.
At midnight. And we said, God, he goes to bed at 9 o'clock. And what did we do?
We prayed at midnight.
We got up and prayed at midnight. What else did you hear? There was something about pain.
There would be a lot of pain and then it would go away.
Mm-hmm. So at midnight, we prayed. I didn't feel anything. I was starting to wonder if Marcus was hearing properly, to be honest. So then the next day, we're in listening prayer, and what do you hear again?
Pray again at midnight.
Pray again at midnight.
No, I heard that while we were praying with Mom in the bed.
Okay.
And I heard, pray, I'll give you instructions on what time, but pray every day at night for 7 days, and on the seventh day, your back will be healed.
Yeah. So we started going around Jericho. Or maybe I'm name and dipping in the, I don't know, something. So we started praying, and we got, like, different instructions every day. Sometimes it was midnight, sometimes it was, like, 2 a.m. One night he let us pick. We did a much more convenient time. So we're doing this, we're praying each night, and, like, I'm not feeling anything. And I'm thinking, like, God, like, at least give me some electricity or some heat or some tingling or knock me over or something to, like, confirm that this is, because I'm going on the advice of an 11-year-old here. Like, this just is challenging. And this is a story that's now stretching on for 2 months long. And, like, I'm still dealing with back pain every night. And, like, God, I don't understand. So on August 27th, you heard something about me doubting. What was it?
Your dad's doubting, help him restore his faith. It's been 3 times now. He can't fail again.
So Marcus tells me this, and I'm like, guys, I'm going to change my last name to Thomas instead of Tom's. Guys, like, seriously. I'm like, God, I don't understand. I don't get any of this, and so I just spent some time that night doing my own listening and journaling, and what he does is he reminds me about a person who told me a year ago that I was doubting about something, and he reminded me of a word he'd spoken to me earlier that day that related to some scriptures saying, you're never going to lack. And he showed me through scripture about that I've even been doubting his desire to heal, sort of questioning his character. So by the end of the week, we had prayed, we had confronted doubt, we had done everything that we thought we were told to do, and so we finished our last round, and things did get better, they improved, and I said to him, like, buddy, I'm like, my back isn't hurting anymore, it still feels weak, like I need some strength, and so we'd pray for that. But it was sort of anticlimactic and undramatic and all that. It was just sort of, you're going to have to take this on faith. I'm not knocking you down or anything like that. So what I'm doing during this time is I'm trying to live in faith and claim my scriptures. And I think Marcus came to me again and he's like, you're still doubting. So, like, by now Thomas just looks like a saint compared to Ben, and I don't understand this. You told me that I was still doubting. What was it? Do you remember what you said?
No.
That's you said that you have to banish all
yeah.
Doubt. So I'm going back to God, and I'm like, God, you're gonna have to show me, because I can't find it anywhere. So, and then what he did was he gave me little reminders. You didn't tell your friend you'd been healed, Ben. You left that 50-pound box at the front door all week long because you wanted to take it easy, just to be sure. A couple of different things like that. And I had to be confronted by that. And so since then, things have been better and not perfect. And it's been an ongoing war where I've been saying to God, quoting God, like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, and he does good to you, and so on. And I'm quoting I'm quoting God to God, as I've said here so many times, like, you said I'm healed. I've seen this. I receive it. I'm quoting Romans 8:2 to him. Therefore, Romans 8:2 said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is part of that, God. I claim that for myself. Quote Romans 8:11 to him that says that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies through that same spirit who is at work in you right now. And I'm quoting that back to God. I'm saying, send this away because I trust you. I take you at your word. And so that's where we're at this point. This is a story that is not yet complete. There has been healing, but not full healing. And that's an interesting thing. In some ways, it's like I'm at the spot where, remember the blind man Jesus heals, where it takes two touches? And between touch one and touch two. That's where we're at. But what I'm doing is giving thanks for the first touch and saying, thank you, God. Do you have anything more to add before I wrap this up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What should you take from this testimony? By now you know that I'm a very human pastor, in case you didn't know that already. The importance of faith. I think of that scripture that says, they're competing scriptures, and they're almost different viewpoints even within scripture about this. So I think of the man who brought his son to be healed to Jesus, and he says, if you can, like how small of the faith is that? And Jesus responds, like, if, you only need a mustard seed. And then he does it for his son anyway. And yet there are other times where it's like, no, God requires more faith from certain individuals. And so he goes to his hometown of Nazareth, right? And in Nazareth, it says, that depends on whether you read Matthew or Mark, in one of them it says that he would not do any miracles among them because of their lack of faith. And in the other gospel, it says he could not do many miracles among them because of their lack of faith. There are times where God requires more than others. That's where I'm at. What else should you take from this testimony? The patience of God. My goodness, he was patient with me. He'll be patient with you too. I sort of pictured God going, it's going to take Ben a while to learn this lesson. But it's his kindness. It's his kindness. I think about the kindness that started it all off with pray for your dad's back, which in many ways I think was the result of many people's prayers, where God, yes, God decided to start working through Marcus to do this, but a lot of people have prayed for my back for a very long time. And so I don't discount the prayers you have prayed for my back, and I thank you for that. I think that too is part of this story. What else can we take from it? God speaks. As we've seen over and over again from the scriptures in these past weeks, my sheep hear my voice being just the first one that we talked about, but God speaks. And did you notice in this story all the different ways God spoke? He spoke audibly. I've never had that. Into his ears. There was a dream. Rosalind, please. It's my daughter. You guys can't do that. But, there was a dream that spoke through a dream. Right? There was an image. There are multiple images. Silas saw Peter walking on the water, which was part of that story. There were words in the head. Do you remember a couple weeks ago I shared the story of the listening prayer I was doing with the boys, and both my boys saw David and Goliath, saw David at the same time, and so we asked God, why is that image in both of our heads this morning? And what did you hear?
I use little people to do big things.
Use little people to do big things. There are words. We should expect this if we believe the scriptures. It's the scriptures that say these things are going to happen. It's Joel 2 and Acts 2. Acts 2 quotes Joel 2 and says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is just hearing from God and then speaking what you hear. This is hearing from God and then speaking what you hear. And it's not your 20-something children. It's your 11-year-old. We should expect that. I hope you take from this the importance of sharing the story. Like I quoted Psalm 66, verse 16. Let me tell you what God has done for me. And it becomes, therefore, part of our story together. Because anything that God does in an individual, he does for the sake of the church. This is my ongoing conviction, which is why we share stories. It's why Megan shared her story on Friday night. It's why Jane shared her story up here a year ago. It's why Connor shared his story on the Soul Care. We share stories because they're a testimony, they're evidence of the ways that God is at work among us. And if he's at work among a group of people or one individual, we can grab onto that and say, I see that you're still at work in these ways. I claim that for myself. I claim that for my family. I claim that they're hearing. I claim that, Lord. It's precedent. And even though this is a partial healing, I give thanks. I give thanks for what God has done. I sleep better. Not yet perfect. Between touch one and touch two, perhaps. But I give thanks, and I don't discount. If that blind man had discounted that Jesus was who he says he is because the first touch didn't get him the full healing, we'd have a very different story in this scripture, and it would be a sad one. But it's a good story because he kept the faith. What else should you take from this? This is a story of what God's doing here. Your sons and your daughters will speak and dream and do these things. It's not just for the adults. So, thank you. Thanks, Marcus. Thanks for being part of my healing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being brave and sharing your story up here. He wanted to. I didn't ask him to do this. So thank you. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. You are an encouragement to me and to us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you thanks and praise. I thank you for what you have done for me and for what you will do for me. I trust you and I bless you. I praise your name. And I bring it to our brothers and sisters here today so that we can all together praise your name for what you have done and what you are doing and for what you will do. You are a good God. You are at work. You speak. You touch. You heal. You call people closer to yourself. And for all of these, we give you thanks and praise. We simply want to be wherever you are working. We simply want to be responding to whatever it is that you are saying and doing. So, Lord, I thank you for your scriptures, and I thank you for your voice, and I thank you that they often will always line up, and often we notice it. So, Lord, I praise you, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. There we go. Go in peace, my friends who are online. Blessings on you. Have a great week.